All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Trinadapi Suni Chena Tarad Iva Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Iva Kivalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatir Anyata. So my first question is, I lost my marker. Where did we leave off, Batu? 115? Yeah, I think so too. What do you have? 128? Yes, that makes more sense to me. Yes. No, I think 118 is... Yes, I think so. Okay, now, I'd like to open with a question. And just now, as we were chanting, it occurred to me, I mentioned that we're going to have a final exam for anyone who would like it. It's not mandatory. But the final exam will only be based on the translations, not the purports. If we did an exam on the purports, it would take 10 hours to do. So the exam will be only on the translations, open book, and you work at your own pace. There's no deadline, okay? And it's not a competition. It's the way I have what I these home study programs, and I just have a new student now. Her name is Radha Nandini, Nandini Radha, and I was explaining to her, you work at your own pace, and the way I've designed these home study programs, it helps you to learn the subject more thoroughly, okay? So when we finish the chapter, I'll compile an assignment. You do it at your own pace. If you want to work together on it, that's also good. It's simply to learn it, then anyone who passes, you'll get a certificate from me and blessing. Is that all right? And it's, as I said, it's not mandatory. Yeah, just this chapter what we studied. And I think after we do this chapter, we'll do Adi Leela chapter 4, which is all about Srimati Radharani. Would you like that? Yeah, we'll do Adi Leela chapter 4, because I don't think we did that. I know I've done that at Dwarkadish's house, but we have not done it here. So that'll be the next chapter, Adi Leela chapter 4. All right, now one more question before we continue. Why should we chant Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda? Why should we chant that before chanting Hare Krishna? Who can answer? Oh, perfect, perfect. I am so happy with you. Okay. And that's another class that we'll have one day. In the matter of chanting Hare Krishna, there are 10 offenses to be considered. And according to the author of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, normally when you chant Hare Krishna, you should be ecstatic. The reason we're not is because we are committing 1, 2, 3, up to 10 kinds of offenses. But in terms of this Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, there are no offenses to be considered. So you chant that first, like you said, to clear offenses. Now you can chant with a little ecstasy. Also, another answer you could have given, but your answer was the best one, what I was looking for. Another answer is, not Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says we should do. So that alone, yes, that's a secondary answer, like a A-minus answer. A-plus answer is what you gave. All right, shall we now pick up on text number 118? Hari Bol. So, Batuk, this... No, you're going somewhere. Okay. Who can tell me without looking at the purport? Where is this verse from without looking at the purport? This verse, number 118. Does it look familiar? Anybody? Without looking at the purport. Where? What book is it from? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 5. Very good. Please repeat. Aparayami tastvanyang prakriting vidhime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedang dharyate jagat. Please repeat. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So that means in the previous verse of Bhagavad Gita, he was talking about the eightfold material energies. So this verse follows. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, another name for ether, sky, constitute the gross energy of the absolute truth, and that there are also three subtle energies, mind, intelligence, and false ego, or identification with the phenomenal world. Why does Prabhupada repeatedly use this word false ego? Why is he using that? Yes, but what does this mean, false ego? Yes, or you could say aham brahmasmi. Yes, but your answer is best. A plus answer. Yes, as you heard me say many times, if there was no other thing, then it would just be ego. By using false, that automatically implies there must be true. Because if something is false, there also must be something true. Thus, the entire cosmic manifestation is divided into eight energies, all of which are inferior. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Maya Duratyaya, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 14. The inferior energy, known as Maya, is so strong that although the living entity does not belong to this energy, due to the superior strength of the inferior energy, the living entity, Jiva Bhuta, forgets his real position and identifies with it. That is Maya. You identify, just like common example, you're driving your car, you hit somebody or they hit you, what's the first thing they say? Hey, you hit me. No. We hit the cars because, you know, unless it's a fatal accident, but usually, like when I had my accident back in April, right? So we both got out of the car, right? So we were okay. The cars were all smashed and totaled, but we were okay. So there's a difference between the driver and the car. Similarly, there's a difference between the Atma, the Jiva, and the body. First lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Let's go on. Krishna says distinctly that beyond the material energy, there is a superior energy, which is known as the Jiva Bhuta, or living entities. When in contact with the material energy, this superior energy conducts all the activities of the entire material phenomenal world. Yes, that's why it says Daryate. Right? Where is that verse? Daryate Jagat. Right? I think it's in... Let's see. Yeah, last line of this verse. Right? Daryate is being conducted. And if Vatuk was to look in the Gita, Daryate is translated by Prabhupada as exploited or utilized. I've given many classes on that topic. You're either exploiting the material energy or utilizing. As devotees, you utilize. When you are a criminal, then you are exploiting. Difference. Okay, let's continue. Next paragraph. The supreme cause is Krishna, Janmadyasa Yataha, which is quoted from the first verse of Bhagavatam, but is also found in Vedanta Sutra. Who is the origin of all energies which work variously? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has both inferior and superior energies, and the difference between them is that the superior energy is factual, whereas the inferior energy is a reflection of the superior. Now, some people, due to a poor fund of knowledge, equate the inferior with the superior, or they make no distinctions. You will find people. Or, if they're atheists, they don't accept the superior energy. They say it doesn't exist. If you're the definition of a gross materialist means all they accept is this material energy. You try to tell them about God, about soul, they go, that's unscientific. That's all fairy tale. They're called gross materialists, atheists. But somebody who accepts Bhagavad Gita understands there's a material, which Krishna says inferior nature, and there's a superior spiritual nature. Okay? And doesn't equate them. Krishna does not equate them. Does Krishna enjoy the material world? No. We've studied that. When we were studying the last couple of weeks about Radharani, you heard it twice. Prabhupada makes the point. Krishna never entertains enjoyment on the inferior level. Why should he? If it's an illusion, what's the point of enjoying an illusion? Right? When you have a choice between reality and illusion, which one would you choose? For instance, if I was to say to you, do you want a million real dollars or a million false dollars? Which one are you going to choose? Do you want a check that will bounce or a check that you can cash? Right? Just like your boss, Krishna Kumar, right? He's waiting for those checks to come in. But sometimes, I don't know, but it's true, but sometimes checks bounce. That means it was a false check. There was nothing backing it up. Right? You don't want that. You want real money. So same way, there is real spiritual energy, and then there's illusory energy. Let's continue. They're both his, yes. So that begs the question, why does Krishna even create an inferior energy? And that goes back because we wanted it. We told Krishna, I don't want to be with you in this spiritual world. I want to be you. So Krishna says, okay, I'll create a world for you. It's called Placentia. Go try to be me. It's an illusion. It's a playpen. It's a dream land. The reality is right in front of you. Radha Krishna. There's the reality. Let's continue. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has both inferior and superior energies, and the difference between them is that the superior energy is factual, whereas the inferior energy is a reflection of the superior. A reflection of the sun in a mirror or on water appears to be the sun, but is not. Similarly, the material world is but a reflection of the spiritual world. Chapter 15, opening verses, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, is where Prabhupada is getting this concept. Krishna mentions this. Perverted reflection. Okay, it's there in chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, the material world is but a reflection of the spiritual world. Although it appears to be factual, it is not. It is only a temporary reflection, whereas the spiritual world is a factual reality. The material world, with its gross and subtle forms, is merely a reflection of the spiritual world. The living entity is not a product of the material energy. Notice Prabhupada is using living entity. Me and Batuk discussed this many times over the years to get a real clarification. Remember Batuk? Yes. So the living entity is not a product of the material energy. He is spiritual energy. But in contact with matter, he forgets his identity. That is Maya. That is false ego. Forgetting. So therefore, we sometimes say, oh, the conditioned soul has amnesia. Forgetting who or she really is. That's what these Vedas are all about. This is what the Vedas are doing. There's a verse in the Vedas, Jagrato, wake up. Or the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. All right, let's continue. Back. Thus, the living entity identifies himself with matter and enthusiastically engages in material activities in the guises, that means pretending, in the guises of technologist, scientist, philosopher, etc. Okay, these are just roles that we play. He does not know that he is not at all a material product, but is spiritual. His real identity thus being lost, he struggles very hard in the material world, and the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement, is trying to revive his original consciousness, right? By saying original, that implies their other subsequent consciousness, different from the original. Otherwise, there would be no need to use this word original. Make sense? Okay. His activities in manufacturing big skyscrapers are evidence of intelligence, but this kind of intelligence is not at all advanced. He should know that his only real concern is how to get free from material contact, for by absorbing his mind in material activities, he takes material bodies again and again. And although he falsely claims to be very intelligent in material consciousness, he is not at all intelligent. When we speak about the Krishna consciousness movement, which is meant to make all people intelligent, the conditioned soul, the conditioned living entity, therefore misunderstands it. He is so engrossed in the material concept of life that he does not think that there can be any activities that are actually based on intelligence beyond the construction of skyscrapers and big roads and manufacturing of cars. This is proof of Maya Aparita Jnana. Dwarkadish recently gave a class on this. I was listening one of these Sundays recently. He was talking about Maya Aparita Jnana, or loss of all intelligence due to the influence of Maya. You've had this experience probably with your children. You wanted your children, hey, focus on your school studies, but they wanted to watch TV or listen to the radio or chat with their friends, right, whatever, right? But you reminded, hey, concentrate, study now, right? So that's like a material example of Maya Aparita Jnana. And they would argue with you, hey, this requires a lot of intelligence. Yes. But you should be doing this kind of intelligence. When a living entity is freed from such misconception, he is called liberated. When one is actually liberated, he no longer identifies with the material world. The symptom of mukti, liberation, is that one engages in spiritual activities instead of falsely engaging in material activities. Another point me and Batuk discussed years ago. Very nice. So I thought, like, about Batuk. We have nice discussions on these topics. Because so many people think there are no such things as spiritual activities. They are called mayavadis. Mayavadis don't think there are spiritual activities. And even if they do, they say, okay, we're going to do these spiritual activities only temporarily till we become merged. Then all spiritual activity stops. But we will be doing spiritual activities even after moksha, which was being discussed. What are you going to do when you have permanent liberation in the kingdom of God? You're going to feed Krishna. You're going to dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, look at Krishna. You're going to be doing so many things. Temporary liberation is merging. Yes, you mentioned very nicely that there are five kinds of liberation. The fifth kind, called a katvam or sayujya, yes, that's temporary. Why do we say that? That's what Lord Shiva and Brahma said to Devaki when Krishna was in the womb. One of the prayers they offered, Aruya Krishtrena Parang Padang Patanti. Patanti, avishuddha buddhaya. Yes, they may think we are liberated and they may even merge, but patanti, they will again fall. Because what does Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 tell us about the nature of the soul? Always active. Even when we're so-called sleeping, what's active? The mind. The mind is active, otherwise how can you have dreams, right? Some people can't even sleep at night because they may be dog tired, right? But that mind is so disturbed, they can't sleep. Like last night somebody told me, Prabhu, I have not slept for 3 days. His mind was so disturbed. That happens sometimes. The mind is so disturbed, you can't get any sleep. So the body may be sleeping, but the mind is like these fans. See how the fan is running? And you know in India, right? Yes, that fan is going on even at night, right? Unless you go to the roof, right? I've done that in Vrindavan. That's nice sleep, huh? On the roof. I love it. I remember the first time I slept on the roof, 1975, in Vrindavan. And so many stars. So it was either August, September. Well, it had to be not the rainy season, so it had to be after that. But I looked, wow, so many stars in the sky. So beautiful. But the point is that the mind is still active. Why? Because the soul by nature is active. So you may merge, but because your nature is to be active, this merging is artificial. It's unnatural. You will again come down. Okay. Transcendental loving devotional service is the spiritual activity of the spirit soul. Mayavadi philosophers confuse such spiritual activity with material activity. But the Bhagavad Gita 14:26 confirms. Everybody chant it. Yes. Hold on, everybody. Chant Hare Krishna. Okay. Let's go. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service of the Vyabhacharini Bhakti is immediately elevated to the transcendental platform. And he is to be considered Brahma Bhuta, which indicates that he is no longer in the material world, but is in the spiritual world. Devotional service is enlightenment or awakening. When the living entity perfectly performs spiritual activities under the direction of the spiritual master, he becomes perfect in knowledge and understands that he is not God, but a servant of God. As explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. The real identity of the living entity is that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme. As long as one does not come to this conclusion, he must be in ignorance. This is confirmed also by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavangmang prapadyate sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births of struggling for existence and cultivating knowledge, when one comes to the point of real knowledge, he surrenders unto me. Such an advanced mahatma or great soul is very rarely to be seen at all. How many people are in this temple room right now? Right? Out of all the people in Orange County, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think that's pretty rare. Okay. Thus, although the Mayavadi philosophers appear to be very much advanced in knowledge, they are not yet perfect. To come to the point of perfection, they must voluntarily surrender to Krishna. Bhatuk. Why does Prabhupada use the word voluntarily? Huh? Yes. Does Krishna want anybody to be forced? No. Yes. Yes. Very important point. Free will. As I was just explaining, I don't know his name, but that Gujarati gentleman, I was explaining to him that always we have free will. And it's with that free will, that is what is attractive to Krishna. That by your free will, you chose him instead of his opulence. The person who doesn't want Krishna does want Krishna's energy, Daryate, to exploit. Or we've heard, careful. I don't know if the temple has workman's comp. Careful. Careful. So, Ravan, what did he want? He wanted Sita. Sita was energy of Ram. So he liked Sita, but didn't want Ram. That's why he was a demon. You feel this? Hmm?
No, I'm getting
you. Yes. Ravan wanted Sita for what? To exploit. Okay? Sita is Ram's energy. So he didn't mind Ram's energy. That he liked. But he wanted to kill Ram. See the difference? The demon loves Krishna's energy for his own sense gratification. The devotee wants God and his energy. That's why we don't just have Krishna on the altar. We have Radha Krishna. Or you go to Riverside, Lakshmi Narayan. Or any temple like that. All right. Yes? No, no, no. It is minute. Because Krishna can jump off a building and not die. We try to do that. So, minute means it's limited. We don't have absolute unlimited. But you have enough. That minute independence is enough.
Yeah, but it's enough in terms of for me to choose my path.
Yes. 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 In comparison, the reason why we use the word minute, in comparison to Krishna. Krishna has swarat, complete independence. He can do anything, no reaction. There's no limitations. We have lots of limitations. That's why it's called minute. It's just to differentiate it to Krishna's free will. Okay? Yes. The fact that you're bringing this up proves the point that even though it's minute, it's sufficient. Correct? It's good. You're getting it. You're making advancement. Hari Bol. Jai. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. So now we're on text number 119. Ooh, this is a very nice verse. Please repeat. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para Avidya Karma Sanganya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate. Please repeat, the potency of Lord Vishnu, please repeat, is summarized in three categories. Namely, the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. Purport. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. In the previous verse, quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, it has been established that the living entities are to be categorized among the Lord's potencies. The Lord is potent, and there are varieties of potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, which is actually from the Upanishads. Now, in this quotation from Vishnu Purana, this is further confirmed. There are varieties of potencies, and they have been divided into three categories, namely spiritual, marginal, and external. The spiritual potency is manifested in the spiritual world. Krishna's form, qualities, activities, and entourage are all spiritual. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 6. Let's do it together. Ajopi san avyayatma, bhutanam ishwaropi san, prakritin swam adhishtaya, sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my spiritual potency, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Atma Maya refers to the spiritual potency. When Krishna comes to this or any other universe, he does so with his spiritual potency. Excuse me. Everyone chant. When Krishna comes to this or any other universe, he does so with his spiritual potency. We take birth by the force of the material potency. But as stated here with reference to the Vishnu Purana, the Kshetragya. So where did you read that recently? Ah, you heard it today, and you've been hearing it now for many, many times here. See how it's paying off. Coming to classes repeatedly, imperceptibly, you're picking things up. Imperceptibly, see, didn't I just say a few minutes ago you become advanced? But you didn't think like that, right? Imperceptibly, you have advanced. And when you do the final exam on this chapter, you're going to be amazed when you get your score. But you got to do the homework. And the way I do, you really got to put time. It's not just, oh, I'll finish it in 5 minutes. Uh-uh. You may have to spend D's and D's and D's because I do make them tricky. That's all right. But Batuk, if anybody joins you, make sure they do the work. Not that they just copy your answers. They should do the work. Okay? Yeah, don't be too so merciful that you do all the... Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Atma Maya refers to the spiritual potency. When Krishna, I already read that. The Kshetraja, or living entity, belongs to the spiritual potency. Thus, when we free ourselves from the clutches of the material potency, we can also enter the spiritual world. The material potency is the energy of darkness or complete ignorance of spiritual activities. In the material potency, the living entity engages himself in fruitive activities, thinking that he can be happy through expansion in terms of material energy. This fact is prominently manifest in the age of Kali, because human society, not understanding the spiritual nature, is busily expanding in material activities. Elsewhere, Prabhupada points out that in Satyuga, everybody is born in the mode of goodness. The whole atmosphere is very spiritual. People are naturally inclined to meditation, being in the mode of goodness. The next age, Treta, fruitive activities are introduced. In Dwarapar Yuga, it's 50-50. People are half material, half spiritual. In Kali Yuga, right off the bat, 75% material, 25% spiritual, and the stock is going down. 25, 24, 23, day by day. And we've only gone how many years? Ooh. You can read in Bhagavatam what the end of Kali Yuga is like. Yes, in 12th canto. 12th canto, chapters 1 and 3. There's a whole description of what the end of Kali Yuga is like. Prabhupada gave one lecture. He said that towards the end of Kali Yuga, people will be pygmy size. You know what pygmy is? Short, 3 feet. And there'll be no fruits, no vegetables. Everyone will be carnivore. And even if there's no animals, they'll take the old grandfather, throw him on top of the roof, kill him, and then eat him. That's Kali Yuga. That's why Prabhupada said, don't stick around. That's how Kali Yuga winds up. People will be reduced to cannibalism. There'll be no more practical human society. It'll be more two-legged animal. And it's happening little by little by little. Yes, there are, yes. But it'll become more and more rampant. Okay? Just like in previous years, abortion was not very much done. Now, it's big business. So there's one example, right? And little by little, Kali Yuga is increasing. Let's continue. This fact is prominently manifest in this age of Kali, because human society, not understanding the spiritual nature, is busily expanding material activities. The men of the present day are almost unaware of the spiritual identity. They think that they are products of the elements of the material world and that everything will end with the annihilation of the body. Prabhupada visited that Russian professor when he went to Russia. Yes. And this Professor Katovsky said, Swamiji, after death, no more. Everything is finished. Therefore, they conclude that as long as one has a material body consisting of material senses, one should enjoy the senses as much as possible. Since they are atheists, They do not care whether there is a next life. Such activities are described in this verse as avidya, karma, sanganya. The material energy is separated from the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, in that Bhagavad Gita, bina prakritir asht, it is my separated. It's different from me, Krishna says. Whereas the spiritual energy is one with him. Whereas the material energy is separate. Just like in Latin countries, they have this word basura. Basura means trash, right? In trash, you keep closed container, right? You ever go to those dumpsters? Whoo! Right? You wonder how those people can do the trash jobs. Impossible for me. Because as soon as you go to it, like I have to take out the garbage at home. So I walk down, and there's the dumpsters. Ugh! Because they don't clean them, right? So that, all that, that's the material energy. It's trash. Krishna's got, look what Krishna's got to enjoy. Radharani. Wonderful. So he's not going to worry about inferior. Why? Because they don't want it. Okay. This is a very excellent question for the audience on the internet. The question was, why only in Hinduism do they believe in reincarnation? Buddhists also believe in reincarnation. But apart from them, yes. The reason is that these other religions are basically materialistic in nature. These religions are teaching people only the point of piety. And they're not really concerned with the development of love of God. Now, I've used this argument because I know, being raised Catholic, they do believe in a next life. Yeah, they do believe in the existence of soul, but their conception is only one chance. In the Christian theology, you're giving one chance. If that one chance, you make your decision, heaven or hell. You understand? But you only get one chance. So in a sense, they do believe in it, but only one chance. This life. And in some Christian preaching, you get a second chance. When the entire material world comes to a close, Jesus and the devil come side by side, and everyone gets a chance to pick who they want to be with. But after that, that's it. You get one chance and one chance only. Whereas in, like you say, Hinduism, you make a mistake, but Krishna will always give you second, third. This was another reason why I chose Krishna consciousness. Because to me, this concept that you only get one chance, that to me doesn't show that God is merciful. You understand? If you only get one chance, right? Whereas in our philosophy, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism, say you are so bad. All right, you go to hell, and their conception of hell is eternal. Once you go to hell, that's it. Hell is described in fifth canto of Bhagavatam, but it's not permanent. You will again get another chance to rectify. This was a big thing for me. Ah, this, now God is merciful. Not that he's, all right, you did not choose me, I send you to hell forever. That's not a loving God to me. You don't do that with your children. Now, I'm just going to give it your children, they're first class. But supposing Chaitan or Shraddha did something really bad, right? And you got really mad at them. But the day came, Papa, please forgive me. Are you going to say, no, you disobeyed me. You are finished. I don't ever want to see you again. You're not going to do that. Why? Because you love them. You care about them. So this conception of God is much better. Krishna says, oh, you don't want me? Okay. Go ahead. But he always sends sadhus. He sends the scriptures to reclaim, to reclaim, to reclaim. Always giving you another chance. Still, you have what kind of free will? Minute. Still, you have that minute. It's full minute. How's that? Plenary, minute, free will. You will always, to me, this was a big cause. Yes, I like this philosophy. It makes sense. Not this vindictive God that I make a mistake and I'm finished forever. How is that reasonable? Fair enough? Should we go a little further? The material energy is separated from the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, although it is originally created by the Supreme Lord, he is not actually present within it. The Lord also confirms in the Bhagavad Gita. See, Prabhupada knows Bhagavad Gita backwards and forwards. He knows it. And every chance he gets to explain a point, boom, he's going to throw in a Bhagavad Gita quote. That's why I said last night, everybody should be studying Bhagavad Gita. And you guys, I told you last week, if you're studying this Chaitanya Charitamrita, you had better know your Bhagavad Gita. Because so much is being assumed. Oh, you're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? When you go to college, they assume that you know 2 plus 2 is 4. They're not going to spend any time teaching arithmetic when you get to college, right? They are going to assume, hey, you got to college. We assume that you know 2 plus 2 is 4. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is post-postgraduate study. All right, so in your spare time, Bhagavad Gita. Okay. The Lord also confirms this. Mastani sarvabhutani. Everything is resting on me. This indicates that everything is resting on his own energy. For example, the planets are resting in outer space, which is the separated energy of Krishna. The Lord also explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir apa nalo vayu kang mano buddhir evacha ahankar ityangme binna Prakritir Ashtadha, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. The separated energy acts as if it were independent, but here it is said that although such energies are certainly factual, they are not independent, but merely separated. Prabhupada gives an example how to understand this concept of separated energy. Prabhupada, like I record my lectures on this video, this digital recorder. Prabhupada recorded his lectures on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And Prabhupada, these books, Prabhupada didn't write. He spoke into a dictaphone machine. And then Prabhupada's disciples would listen to those tapes and type it out and then compose. So Prabhupada said, my recording is my separated energy. He recorded the lecture, say, on Sunday, or he composed a purport on Sunday. His secretary got it a month later. They're listening back. It's as if they're there, but Prabhupada's already gone. So this material energy is Krishna's digital recorder. He put his energy here, set everything up, but Krishna's gone by now. It's his separated energy. Okay? The separated energy can be understood. Here it is. I'm sorry, Prabhupada. Prabhupada's going to explain it for himself. I should have shut up. The separated energy can be understood from a practical example. I compose books by speaking into a dictaphone. When the dictaphone is replayed, it appears that I am speaking personally, but actually I am not. I spoke personally, but then the dictaphone tape, which is separate from me, acts exactly like me. It's not that the dictaphone all of a sudden comes up with a different thing. No, it's exactly what you said. That's why when they do wiretapping, you know, it's on record, right? You said it. They recorded it. You know, sometimes in the court, they play back. And the guy can't say, well, I didn't say that. No, we got you on tape. I spoke personally, but then the dictaphone tape, which is separate from me, acts exactly like me. Similarly, the material energy originally emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it acts separately, although the energy is supplied by the Lord. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, Mayad Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Under the guidance or superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy works as if independent, although it is not actually independent. This explains why many people, not knowing this, because they don't have transcendental knowledge or they don't accept Bhagavad Gita, conclude, oh, all the gods are the same. They say that, right, because they have not been educated. But once you study, now you understand, oh, the material energy is not independent. You only can come to that conclusion when you have a spiritual master and you study the Vedas as they are. So that's significant. Otherwise, you're going to come up with so many false conclusions which are not based on Shastra. Somebody may be very religious. Someone may be very devoted. Okay, but that has to be based on sound philosophical understanding on the Vedas. You follow the point, which is why what you're doing is excellent. You are getting a sound philosophical understanding of what you're doing. Like Krishna told his father, the day that Nanda Maharaj wanted to worship Indra, Krishna said, those who know everything about sacrifice, they get the full result. Those who don't know, don't get the full result. So, I've preached this many times over the years. You should know as much as you can about what you're doing so that you get the full return on your investment.
What does it mean?
What does what mean? Krishna was saying, because his father said, Krishna asked him, why are you doing this ceremony for Indra? And Nanda Maharaj said, well, it's traditional. Just like sometimes parents will tell their children, ask, why I got to go to the temple? Why I got to do this? So sometimes, just to keep the kid quiet, hey, this is what we do in this family. This is our Hindu tradition. Right? But if they're intelligent, that's not enough. They want to know why I should be doing this. Right? We had a discussion, was it last week? Yes. So, when you study Gita thoroughly, or these classes, now you can answer a question thoroughly. When you do these homework assignment, you're going to know this chapter even better. In other words, you've understood whatever you've understood. But by doing the test or the homework assignment, you are now going to learn it more thoroughly. And that's why we read Bhagavad Gita every day. Because it's unlimited. Your understanding of the Bhagavad Gita will increase with each successive reading. So the more you know about a subject, you're going to get more result. I'll give you a practical example. We've had in the last so many years, right, the bank crooks, right? And they devised all these schemes which the president, the Congress, doesn't even understand. They knew what they were doing, and they said, you know what, these suckers, we're going to do things in such a way because we know, like, what do I know about banking? What do you know about? But these guys knew all the laws, and they did it in such a way that they could steal billions of dollars, and look what happened. We paid them. That whole thing at the end of Bush's term, and then Obama did the same thing, the bank bailout, you all know about it. They stole the money, and then we have to bail them out? That is classic Kali Yuga. Classic. The people who caused the crime, they get away scot-free. Any of those guys get, a couple of them got arrested. But most of them are living the life of Riley, and we're paying for it. So, after that, it behooves us. We better know what we're doing. We better know what we're, because they're going to do it again. You know what their philosophy is? I heard it. Their philosophy, there's a saying, the banker's mantra, if that person is stupid enough to give me his money, he doesn't deserve it. Do you understand that? That's how they rationalize it. If you're stupid enough to let me rob you, you don't deserve your money. I know what I'm doing. I deserve your money. You got that? I love this topic. Because what happened at the end of 2008 is like classic Kali Yuga. It happened just like that, right? Overnight. Then Obama did the same thing. Because they held him at gunpoint, practically speaking. You don't do this, we're going to crash the whole economy. We're going to crash the whole thing. And they're going to do it again. You wait. They're going to do it again. Yes. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're educating yourself. And if you're going to invest your money, get somebody trustworthy and safe investment. Don't, in other words, don't allow yourself to be cheated. That's why I stress so much, study Prabhupada's books so that nobody cheats you. You understand? Because this world is full of the cheaters and the cheated. Prabhupada's guru said that all the time. This world is a world of the cheaters and the cheated. Don't cheat yourself. Find, like I was mentioning last night, who's the guru? The one who represents Krishna and who also obeys Krishna. Okay, that's your guru. He himself repeats what Krishna says, and he follows what Krishna says. Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai. Sorry for that tangent. Please forgive me. Let's finish up. In this verse from Vishnu Purana, the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is classified into three divisions, namely the spiritual or internal potency of the Lord, the marginal potency or Kshetrajna, the living entity, and the material potency, which is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and appears to act independently. When Srila Vyasadeva, by meditation and self-realization, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also saw the separated energy of the Lord standing behind him. So that's from First Canto, where Prabhupada is mentioning, that's in the First Canto, chapter 7, this incident. apashyat purushang purnam mayang chatad apashrayam. Vyasadeva also realized that it is this separated energy of the Lord, the material energy, that covers the knowledge of the living entities. Yaya samohito jiva atmana tri gunatmakam. There it is, 175. The separated material energy bewilders the living entities, jivas, and thus they work very hard under its influence, not knowing that they are not fulfilling their mission in life. That's another point, right? My father worked. My mother did not work. My mother just stayed home and took care of her 3-4 sons. But nowadays, how many families you know that only the husband is working? Very few. The demons have made it so interesting. Now, just to live, both have to work, right? It wasn't like that. But these demons, what are they? And you've all seen it in your jobs. They've laid off so many people. And then what does the boss say? Now everybody has to work harder. See how clever they are. They're rakshasas. They're rakshasas. They're going to make you work harder and harder. And what do they want to do now? Take away what? Your Social Security. They want to take away your Medicaid. They are robbers. These demons are the biggest crooks. They're going to make the human, especially in America, what is their plan? They want to make America one class, poor, slaves. You work like an ass, and the big, big businessmen will get fat like pigs. And the common person will just have to work day and night for a few pennies. That's what's happening, coming to America soon. You watch. You pay attention to how these politicians, who are simply prostitutes in the hands of the big, big industrious capitalists, they're all prostitutes, every single one of them. It's disgusting. They do whatever the big, big corporations tell them. You better watch. Best advice, go back to Godhead, because Kali Yuga ain't getting better. It's getting worse. I'm very fired up today. Must be because it's 9/11. Let's finish up. Unfortunately, most of them think that they are the body and should therefore enjoy the material senses irresponsibly, since when death comes, everything will be finished. This atheistic philosophy also flourished in India when it was sometimes propagated by Charvak Muni, who said, Rinang kritva gritang pibet yavaj jivet sukam jivet basmi bhutasya dehasya kutta punya agamo bhavet. His theory was that as long as one lives, one should eat as much ghee as possible. Yes. In India, ghee, clarified butter, is a basic ingredient in preparing many varieties of food. Since everyone wants to enjoy nice food, Charvak Muni advised that one should eat as much ghee as possible. One may say, I have no money. How shall I purchase ghee? Charvak Muni, however, says, if you have no money, then beg, borrow, or steal. But in some way secure ghee and enjoy life. For one who further objects that he will be held accountable for such unauthorized activities as begging, borrowing, and stealing, Charvak Muni replies, you will not be held responsible. As soon as your body is burned to ashes after death, everything is finished. This is called ignorance. From the Bhagavad Gita, it is understood that one does not die with the annihilation of his body. Nahanyate hanyamane shirire. The annihilation of one body involves changing to another. Tata dehantara prapti. Therefore, to perform irresponsible activities in the material world is very dangerous. Without knowledge of the spirit soul and its transmigration, people are allured by the material energy to engage in many such activities as if one could be happy simply by dint of material knowledge without reference to spiritual existence. Therefore, the entire material world and its activities are referred to as avidya, karma, sangyanya. In order to dissipate the ignorance of the human beings who work under the material energy, which is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord comes down to revive their original nature of spiritual activities, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. As soon as they deviate from their original nature, the Lord comes to teach them, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. My dear living entities, give up all material activities and simply surrender unto me for protection. In the statement of Charvak Muni, that one should beg, borrow, or steal money to purchase ghee and enjoy life, rinam kritva gritang pibit. Thus, even the greatest atheist of India recommends that one eat ghee, not meat. No one could conceive of human beings eating meat like tigers and dogs. But men have become so degraded that they are just like animals and can no longer claim to have a human civilization. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for being such good students. May Krishna bless you and protect you. Next week, I can't remember what I'm doing. I'm not sure. Anyway, if we're going to have class, you'll get my email. Let me just take a quick look here. Let me just take...